It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
Isaiah 40, starting with verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is Exploring the Word, and it is Friday. Therefore, it's Fire Away Friday, where we take questions. And that number that you can call with your Bible question is 888-589-8840. The lines are open. Richard's ready to receive your call and give that question to us as you share what God has maybe put on your heart to ask. 888-589-8840. But Alex, going back to Isaiah 40, what a passage of scripture. Wait upon the Lord. Listen, it sounds like it's descending, but actually verse 31 where it says, thou shalt mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk shall not faint. I believe it's ascending, because the Bible talks about more than anything else in our relationship with God, walk with him. That's as good as it gets, isn't it?
Amen. You know, I love Isaiah 40, and of course, you read there 28 through 31, and that's just so powerful. But verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And hey, can I ask people to pray? Bert, after the show yesterday, and I haven't shared this with you, but I got a call from a church staff member here in America. And this particular person had been involved in church ministry on paid staff for 30 years. And he said to me, he said, I don't know if I'm saved. And he said, it dawned on me, and I'm just going to ask people to pray for this person, but we had a two-hour conversation about some of the questions about, you know, why do bad things happen in this world? And this is apologetics. But he said to me, he said, it dawned on me, I don't remember that I've ever accepted Christ. I was in church since a child. I was just doing what I was told. And this church staff member was just going through a real crisis, and don't want to use the name, not going to say where, but if people would just pray for this person. And Bert, I guess you and I would say to anybody listening, if you are not sure that you're saved, you can be sure. I mean, you don't have to worry and wonder. You can know where you stand with Jesus Christ, can't you?
You really can. And I would say, those of you that may be in that shape, spend some time in the book of 1 John. Five times he gives this question, that or this answer to a question that you may know. So you can know. These things I've written that you may know. And so, listen, I pray that you would. I want to tell you, if you never get any peace, let me just tell you, if you can't get any peace, Alex, I believe in saying, if you can't get the peace by remembering and knowing, listen, I'd call upon the Lord Jesus Christ right where you are and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that without you, I am lost, undone. And right now, regardless of what I've done in the past, I'm placing my confidence in you, asking you to be forgive me of my sin and be Lord of my life. Alex, listen, I've done that with several people. They just couldn't get any peace any other way. Yeah. And so make sure you know Christ is Savior.
Amen. Amen. Well, it is Fire Away Friday. The number is 888-589-8840. We're so honored that you're listening, and we're just going to give the entire show to answering questions now. And Bert, the number, if people want to call in, we'll have them up and ready in just a moment. One question, though, that I want to get in, it's off of email. It's, can we be sure that the Bible has been preserved? And there, without making the question too long, has it been changed, or is what we have what was originally written? Bert, I believe with all my heart that what we have in our Bible, and folks, there's a 32-hour semester-long course that I don't have time to completely reiterate here. Yes, what you've got in your Bible is a faithful preservation of what the original document said. Would you agree, Bert?
I would agree fully. Why would God give it and then not preserve it?
Yes.
I trust Him. I trust Him more than I do man. That means any version, anything. I trust God more than any man. But God, I believe, has done that for us. And when you look again at the history of it and the documentation that we have and the verification of it we have, yes, you can depend upon the Bible. You really can, as the Word of God.
One historian, and there are a lot of historians I could name, but the Bible, as you have, is the most faithfully preserved book in all of antiquity. No other document in terms of preservation, accuracy, trustworthiness, no other document even comes close. The Bible is God's Word, and you can depend on it. Let's go to Illinois. Xavier in Illinois, thank you for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Oh, thank you. In general, is it okay to go shopping on a Sunday? I've heard yes, I've heard no. So which one is it?
Bert, you want to go first?
Okay. Listen, I think we're free. And listen, to do so, I don't think it should get in the way of your worship. You need to worship, but then I think you're free to do so. And I remember the blue laws. I grew up way back when, and everything was closed. In my little home county, in the county seat town, everything was closed except one drugstore. It stayed open, and there were two or three drugstores, and they would alternate on Sundays which one would be open, so it would be there for those people who were sick and need a prescription. I think it's gotten out of hand where we are today. There's freedom in that, Alex. Go ahead.
Yeah, I completely agree. And look, we try to make Sunday the focal point of Sunday is being in church and serving the Lord. But we are free. We're not under law. And let me just say this. The Bible says if your ox is in the ditch on the Sabbath, you still get your ox out of the ditch. And David's men, when they were traveling and they had nothing to eat, they ate the bread. In the temple, there was something called the table of showbread, but it was almost like the communion table. And so the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So, Xavier, you're free. I do think Sunday we try to make it a day to be thinking about the Lord, but if you need to go to the store on Sunday, you're free to go to the store. Sherry in North Carolina. Sherry, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, thank you, Alex. At the Dinesh event Sunday night, when you spoke about the archaeologists finding the evidence, like the sort of petrified seal, the very next morning, James Dobson's show spoke the exact same seal, and he said this, and it just thrilled my heart. I just want to know what you think about it. He said that the rocks are crying out.
Oh, well, you were with us at the Dinesh D'Souza event Sunday night then, right?
Yes.
Well, first of all, thank you for being at that. It was fantastic. It was great. Yeah, the rocks cry out. Do you remember Jesus said that, if we didn't praise God, the rocks would cry out? And that's kind of been a little bit of a euphemism for archaeology, that so many archaeological discoveries, time and again. And Bert, about 1 year ago, there was it was opened up to the public, the Pool of Siloam has been excavated, where Jesus healed a man. And let me just give you one thing. For one, there was a very famous man named Nelson Gluck, spelled G-L-U-E-C-K. He was the president of the Hebrew Union Seminary in Cincinnati. He spent 40 years in Israel in the mid-20th century, and he said this, that, quote, no archaeological discovery has ever controverted or proven false a biblical reference. And also, with every turn of the archaeologist's spade, another page of Scripture has been verified. And some of the great archaeological discoveries have been the library at Ur, where Abraham was called, so Ur was a legitimate city, Hezekiah's water tunnel, 40 to 70 feet below the walls of Jerusalem. I walked through it, Bert, yeah. And there was a time when skeptics said it couldn't have been built. The palace of King David, the Garden of Gethsemane, the tomb of Samuel, the synagogue at Capernaum, Solomon's horse stables, I walk through those. And so, Bert, it is exciting that when you are reading the Holy Bible, every bit of history, the land, the places, it happened, and archaeology has verified that time and time and time again.
Amen. And those rocks do cry out, truth, truth. Yes, the Word of God is true. And Sherry, you can depend upon that. And each time they discover something new, unearthed, as Alex said, verification. Not that it needs it for us, but it sure does put arsenal in our weaponry to share with others. And
indeed.
So, yes. Thank you, Sherry.
Well, and let me just say this regarding the land of Israel. We're going in March of 2026. Tim Wildman told me a few days ago that we can mention this. If you Google Wildman Tours, W-I-L-D-M-O-N, March of 2026, Bert and Jen Harper are going, Alex and Angie McFarland, and Tim Wildman has led many, many, many tours, and we're going to be along. We would love for you to come with us. And Bert, I got to tell you, it's going to be one of the highlights of my life to see the land of the Bible with you, brother.
Amen. And, amen, Alex.
So, folks, you pray about that, and you can come. I think if you can, it's something you'll remember for the rest of your life. We're going to Israel next March. Perhaps you want to come with us.
Alex, what's amazing, I have had people say, when are you and Alex going to lead a tour? And we didn't want to interfere with Tim, and then Tim invites us, so this is a beautiful time to join Tim and Allison Wildman. We're looking forward to it.
Amen. David in Virginia. David, welcome.
Hey, thank you very much. Raise him and praise him, for he is holy.
Amen.
And,
praise God.
He is so holy. I don't know how. I know people struggle with how holy he is, and then we're to be holy, for he is holy. And I probably more than often I let the enemy get into my head, and I, you know, I know God is good and I am not, but when it comes to worshiping, genuinely, truly worshiping the Lord, it seems to be a struggle.
David. That's why we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We'll be right back.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
We are precious in His sight. We are children to a Father, gave His all to give us life. It don't matter.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Welcome back, Alex and Bert. You know, before the break, we were talking with David in Virginia, and he mentioned the holiness of God. You know, Bert, I read in Isaiah 6, verse 3, where the angels in heaven were saying, holy, holy, holy. And I want to get back to this. You know, we need to think about the holiness of God and just the reverence that He is due. But David in Virginia, I wanted to give you time to finish your thought. Thank you for holding, and welcome back, David.
Thank you. I appreciate it. My question is just, you know, when we're, you know, thinking about God's holiness, and, you know, I know the enemy can creep in, and I was just wondering if you could give, you know, genuine examples as to how we can truly, you know, worship the Lord, not just whole, you know, because when I think about that, I think about, you know, lukewarm, and, you know, that's not good. So just good examples of
David, thank you, brother.
Go ahead.
I agree with you. Listen, I want to recommend a book. Alex is the book recommender a lot more than me, but Warren Wiersbe wrote a book, Real Worship, R-E-A-L, Real Worship. And it really helped me, David, in seeing when you look at the Bible, you look at different avenues of worship. Sometimes it was just complete adoration of who God was. Sometimes it was conviction of falling on your knees before a holy God and you see who you are. And the different ones, even in the, I would say in the upper room, as they were washing, Jesus is washing their feet, that was worship. And matter of fact, this Sunday I'll be preaching at Ozark Baptist Church here in Northeast Mississippi, and I'm preaching a series of sermon on doing God's work God's way, and it's about bringing up the ark from Abinadab and bringing it, you know, and have it at the centerpiece. And on the way, they treated the ark casually, and that's when Uzzah died by putting his hand out. So there is avenues of real worship. But notice what happened when David, and I'm giving part of my sermon away here, Alex, but as they were bringing it up, it was really organized. And then all of a sudden, David just breaks out in dance and I believe singing. It was spontaneous. I believe worship, private, corporate, and sometimes it is planned completely and it's still worship, and then sometimes it's a spontaneous response to Him. But it's real. It's real worship, Alex.
Amen. You know, I used to hear some of the older people in my life say that they got happy in the Lord. Did you ever hear people say that?
I have. Yes, I have. Hey, guess what? Bert Harper has experienced that.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to read this. And David, I'm glad you're thinking about this because, you know, the Lord is due worship and praise and honor and reverence and reflection. And just think about this. But in Psalm 51, let me read this. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desire not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Bert, I think that in humility and gratitude and praise, we're worshiping God. Because, you know, I think about this, doing this show. The Lord doesn't need us. God can fulfill the Great Commission without us, but yet He allows us to be a part of His work. And I mean, really, to think that God would love us, bring us to Himself, let us be in this free nation, we can go to church, we can share the gospel, we can pray, we can grow in the Lord. I mean, Bert, God's been real good to all of us, hasn't He?
He really has. Let me give you one more thought, David. I really do, and with my family I did, and it was rough. We had, with our sons, Jan had to get them ready. I had two worship services, early and then late, and I had to go in early, and that was tough on her. But I want to just tell you, expectation. Go to worship with expectation of purposeful being ready to hear God and say, God, whatever you speak to me, that's what I will do. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise and expect God to show himself to you, and then you respond accordingly in obedience. I want to just tell you, it will brighten your day, give you leadership, and sometimes you have to worship through the pain. Alex, I've been there too when it was hard. Yes. Things weren't going so well in my life, and yet I wanted to worship, so I worshiped him through the pain. And I just want to tell you, he'll help you carry the load. That's worship does that.
Mississippi, Ambrose in Mississippi, welcome to Fire Away Friday.
How you doing, guys? God bless you, Alex and Bert, for Exploring the Word and American Family Radio. We have a devoted group of men that have a Bible study on Friday morning here in Cleveland. It's called The Table. And the question was asked by a young man by the name of Dylan. He's a good friend of mine. He asked, in 2 Corinthians, when Paul had his vision and he was caught up to the third heaven, the question is, are there different layers of heaven, or is that the same heaven, or what is that about?
Okay, great question. Alex, we've had this before, recently, matter of fact. Now, let me say, what do the birds fly through? Is that part of heaven, and where the moon is and the stars, is that part of heaven? What is it now? I'm setting you up. Go ahead.
This is really in 2 Corinthians 12, I believe, where he says that he was caught up to the third heaven. And, he was talked about his infirmity, and he had besought the Lord thrice, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, the third heaven is the abode of God. Here's how the Bible uses the word for heavens. The birds fly in the sky, and we talk about the birds of the heavens. But then there's, where the planets are, space. That is, God created the heavenlies. But then there's the abode of God, which is, heaven proper. So, yeah, there are levels of heaven, you might say, the sky, outer space, and then where we'll be with God in his presence if you're a believer.
That really is. And he was caught up, and I can't get over his words, what Paul said. It was so glorious. Words failed him. And when, even in the Revelation, when I would say that John caught that vision of heaven and him describing it, glorious beyond measure. Even Isaiah and his train fill the temple. Listen, the abode of God, he invites us to join him. And that's part of what Exploring the Word is all about, to make sure you can listen to this program, you can go to church. Have you ever heard a preacher say, you can live in an apartment above a garage, but that wouldn't make you an automobile? Well, you can go to church, you can do all that, but it doesn't make you a follower of Christ. You have to have this relationship. So what Exploring the Word does is say to everyone who is listening, make sure there's been a time in your life when Jesus Christ has become Lord of your life. You confessed your sin. You admitted that you could not save yourself, and you knew in your mind that Jesus had died on the cross and rose again. But now by faith you receive it as unto yourself that he did it, and ask him to forgive you and ask him to be Lord of your life. If you've never done that, I'm praying you would do that today.
Amen. Let me add this. How do we know the third heaven is really where God is? Because listen, this is 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4. In verse 2, Paul says he was caught up to, quote, the third heaven. And then he goes on in verse 4 and he says he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words not lawful for man to utter. I mean, it's like literally not possible for man to utter. So the third heaven is paradise, and that means that's the place of where God's throne is.
Amen.
Good question. Fascinating stuff. By the way, some of this we cover in our upcoming book that'll be out this fall on 100 Bible Questions on Prophecy and the End Times. Amen. William in Ohio, welcome to Exploring the Word, William.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
I've got a question about evangelism within your family or people who know you well. I've got three of my sisters are believers. Two of them are not. I wondered, in general, with anyone you're speaking to or trying to share the gospel with, is it appropriate ever to use some of the different techniques like Pascal's wager about, you know, if God exists or if God doesn't exist, what are the possibilities? And also, our parents have passed. I believe they're in heaven, but is it ever appropriate to bring that up, like something in reference to, you know, if you'd ever, there ever a possibility that you want to see or be with our folks again, then they're in heaven, not putting them on the spot or, you know, guilting them or whatever. But you know what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah. Hey, Bert, let me speak to this and then I'll throw it to you if I may. Well, William, first of all, blessings on you for caring about the souls of your family members. And I will say this, sometimes the hardest people to influence for Jesus are your relatives that are close to you. But you're doing the right approach, like you mentioned Pascal's wager, which Blaise Pascal was a French mathematician, but he was a great defender of the faith, and he wrote a book to try to win his sister to Christ. He did, hundreds of years ago. But Pascal's wager says this, and this is only one thing out of many, but he said, look, if I live for Jesus and I die, and it turns out there was no heaven or eternity, well, I've lived a good life, and I've lost nothing. But if you live as if there is no God, and you die, and it turns out there is a God, you've lost everything. So the wise man, said Pascal, would live, wager, as if there is a God, because deep down we all know there is, and it's highly risky to live as if there isn't. Now, just like I mentioned yesterday, Bert, right after the show, I spent 2 hours on the phone with a church staff member having a faith crisis. And he said to me, and you know, 23 hours ago I was having this conversation, he said, well, what if you live and die and there's just nothing? And I said, well, okay, but that is a faith position. Now, faith means trust. I'm living and going to die, and I'm believing that there's Jesus, and I will meet him. And he said, well, that's just faith. I said, well, yes, it's faith, but it's a faith based on some pretty compelling things. But I said, if you think you're an agnostic, and you say, well, I'm just going to live and die, and maybe there's nothing. I said, that too is a faith leap. And so what we've got, and now listen, folks, I'm going to throw it to Bert. In evangelism, what I'm presenting is what I call a cumulative case. In other words, the mounting evidence, the cumulative case. You've got answered prayer, fulfilled prophecy, the archaeological proof, the preservation of all the manuscripts. You've got the empty tomb. Jesus Christ rose, one of the most documented facts of the ancient world. You've got so many compelling lines of evidence. And then you've got things like math and science that affirm the Bible, not the other way around. And when you look at the dozens of lines of evidence that point to God, Jesus Christ, and the authenticity of Scripture, Bert, I think it takes much more faith to be a non-believer than just to accept and say, Lord, I believe you. Lord, you're real. save me, and I want to follow you.
You mean you don't have enough faith to be an atheist, Alex?
I don't have enough faith to be that all this stuff came from nothing and chaos is the mother of order. And no, it's real. But, Bert, what advice do you give to those who, like the caller, who's very concerned for the spiritual state of their family members?
William, I'm going to quote somebody that we quote quite often, Adrian Rogers, and I found it to be true with my family. Be natural supernaturally and supernatural naturally. In other words, what you want to be who yourself, who you are in Christ, in living and conversation. Jesus is a part of your life. Jesus should be a part of your conversation. And in that conversation, faith will arise. And in that faith presentation, the questions that Alex and the cumulative evidence that we have could possibly come up. Now, I want to say this, and this is I've gotten this from advice from others that were the people that were lost and family members witnessing to them. You don't want them to want to run when they see you coming. But it, your presence and just who you are in Christ will the Holy Spirit of God will use what you have said in the past and how you care for them to convict them and to draw them to Christ. So live that way. Live your life that way when the family gathers and be ready to give that answer that God has given you. Listen, we're going to take a break, but we've got lines that are open and that number, 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you today on Exploring the Word.
Are you a new small group leader looking for a strong curriculum? Even if you've been a leader for years, there's always a need for tools to help you as you help others deepen their love for God and their Bible knowledge. AFA Stream is a great resource. With topics covering biblical worldview training, godly marriage, and more, you'll have access to some of the best teaching available. And if you're a Great Commission partner, you open up even more. Visit stream.afa.net today. Stream.afa.net.
I know the only reason I can stand here unashamed. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy.
Amen. The mercy of God. Amen. Well, I want to share, and this is a public announcement, service announcement. It's Mother's Day Sunday, like a lot of folks have not maybe heard, but it is Mother's Day. Those of you that have moms that are alive, be sure and honor them and call them and appreciate them. And then those of us who mothers is gone on to be with the Lord, be thankful for them. And so Mother's Day is this Sunday. Well, Alex, where do we go to next?
Well, we got a call or a question over the internet. Somebody says, of this new pope, why has he chosen the name Leo? And by the way, I want to say I was very privileged. If you look on the FoxNews.com website today about American faith leaders speak out about the selection of the new pope, they quote me, and I give God the glory for that. But Fox News called me yesterday on that. But here's the thing. In 1878, there was a Pope, Leo XIII, that was known as a defender of human rights. And let me encourage people, whether you're Protestant, Catholic, whomever, pray for this man that he will be biblical. You know, Leo the 14th, he's taken this name. And why? See, popes take on different names. And I just want to say this, too, and then we'll get back to the calls. Somebody that was a real hero during the Reagan years was from Chicago, John Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict the 16th. And that name, Pope Benedict, had been very strong on doctrine. And John Ratzinger, a.k.a. Benedict the 16th, he wrote a book on the deity of Christ. He wrote apologetics books, and I liked him because, he was like a defender of the gospel. And people yesterday, they said, well, wasn't he from Chicago? Yes, he was, but he was born in Germany. Now, Prevost, that was elected yesterday is a truly American pope. It really is significant. But no matter who you are, pray that he'll be biblical. Taking the name Leo from 1878, will he be a defender of human rights? That's great. I just hope he won't be like woke. I did read, Bert, that he traditionally had been an opponent of gay marriage, and I'm glad of that. But irregardless, we need to pray for this very large segment of people that in many parts of the world, it's the only witness of the church there is. So, Bert, as this new pope gets, ensconced, we are certainly praying for him to be biblical and gospel-oriented.
Amen. So that we make it a matter of prayer. Go ahead, Alex.
Chris in Texas. Chris, thanks for holding.
Hey, guys. How are you doing, Bert, Alex?
Doing really well, man. Thank you, Chris.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. Hey,
listen,
I want to say, well, I want to share a little something with you. I was a drug addict for 25 years of my life. And been to prison 6 times, and I gave my life to Jesus and my addiction to Jesus, and he delivered me from that. I've been clean over 9 years.
Amen. Amen, Chris.
Yes.
Amen. I love those victory testimonies. Thank you. Go ahead.
Absolutely, man. In March, I had the chance to go to Liberia, West Africa, to minister to homeless drug addicts, and I saw many miracles while I was there, and it was amazing.
Amen.
And I was reading in Matthew 17 when Jesus sent his disciples out to heal the sick, to cast out devils and demons. There was one they couldn't cast out, and they came back and asked him, why could we not cast this one out? And Jesus told him it was because of your unbelief. Then he says, however, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. And I got to thinking about that, and was he talking about the demonic spirit couldn't come out, or was it their unbelief couldn't come out except by prayer and fasting? What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, thank you, Chris. Let me give you this, and I'll just say this, and it's concerning salvation. You know, Jesus raised 3 people from the dead. One was right after they had died, and Jesus raised them up. The other one had been dead for quite a few hours, and they was on the way to bury them. And then Lazarus, let me see, 4 days, I think that's a not only for salvation. Some people, you know, it's like Paul when he was on his missionary journey, and he would go to the synagogue, and he'd preach concerning Jesus. And most of the time, they got to the resurrection, and that's when it really hit the fire. And it says this, some walked away, some would believe, but then others would say, we're going to give this more time. We want to hear a little bit more. Alex, I honestly believe that's a presentation of the gospel, but it's that way also of deliverance, that some, it's this, and this, and some are immediately. I think there's biblical evidence of that.
Well, you mentioned the Matthew 17:21. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And that is also reiterated in Mark 9:29. I think it's talking about, the casting out of a demon, but spiritual breakthrough.
Yes, that's what it is mainly.
And listen, as you may know, I'm a big advocate for fasting and prayer. And let me just say, folks, if you need a spiritual breakthrough, whether it's in your own life, being set free from habits or something, or you're praying for a loved one, look, people have to make the decision to turn their life to Christ. But I really do think that fasting and prayer multiplies the power of God just exponentially. Satan is rendered powerless. And folks, you think on that. If there's something in your life and you absolutely need a spiritual breakthrough, prayer and fasting just may give you the victory that your heart is crying out for.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. Okay. Marty in Iowa, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. I enjoy listening to you. I'm a truck driver, so I get quite often to get to hear your program. And yesterday, you two, a gentleman called in, and he was talking about the mentally challenged. And Alex, you made a comment that has just blown my mind. You said, God will not require us to do something we can't do. And it made me just hit me that we are all mentally challenged since Adam and Eve and the fall. And I went to church till I was 24 years old, my parents insisted. And it was when I became born again, when I was 24, and it overwhelmed me that it was God who came and got me, because I never would have come to him. And so I love that statement that God will not require us to do something we can't do. And I don't know why it hit me so hard that that's why he came and got me, because even the smartest man in the world, whether it be a Nicodemus, who I so much appreciate because he was so brilliant, and yet he could not achieve what was necessary. And that beautiful story of how he had to become born again, and yet he didn't understand it. So I was overwhelmed. I just wanted to tell you guys that it amazed me that we're all mentally challenged due to the fact that we were born in sin and corruption, and yet the excitement of knowing that God is chasing after each one of us. And I just wanted you both to know how that hit me. It was beautiful.
Amen, Marty. Amen, Marty. Thank you. Alex, he is running after us. He really does. God's not willing that any should perish, but that everybody would come to repentance in him. So this day has just been kind of a salvation message today. I think Marty's right. There's nothing. When we could not come to God, he came to us, did he not?
Psalm 40, verse 2, he pulled me up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. Praise God.
Hallelujah. He put a new song in my heart, too.
Amen.
He changed everything.
Marty in Iowa, a truck driver. We love the truck drivers. Hey, listen, every person is indebted to the truck drivers, really. Rebecca in Texas. Rebecca, that's a Bible name. God bless you.
Yes. Yes, sir, it is. Hey, guys, I'm actually a Bible teacher at a private Christian school here in Texas, and love listening to your program, because even though I'm teaching the Bible, I still have a ton of questions about the Bible. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you for teaching.
Yes.
So a few days ago, you had a caller ask about, you know, why did God allow Satan and evil if he knew that Adam and Eve were going to choose to turn from God? And you made a comment about how the angels also have a relationship with God, and they had the choice to either go with Satan or to stay with God. I was just curious, do angels continue to have a choice on who they serve, or was that like the one time in history that they were able to choose?
Good question, Rebecca. And I will say it sure does look like they had the one time to make that choice, either or. And after I got a feeling those angels that stayed with God, after they saw what happened to those angels that did not, no way would they go another way. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, there was a man named Dr. Harold Wilmington, great, great, great Bible teacher, and he was at Liberty University, and he taught Bible and theology for many years. And I highly recommend his book, Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. And I remember him teaching on this, that you know, for us, the time period in which we must make a choice for Jesus is in this life. And then when the believer dies and they're in that glorified state, their status is fixed. There's not going to be a second fall. Genesis 3 is not going to happen all over again in heaven. And Dr. Wilmington taught that, as far as we can tell, the angels' time of choosing was at some time in eternity past before the creation. And, you know, as you read about the dragon who swept a third of the stars from heaven, that's Revelation 12:4. In other words, one third of the angels very foolishly sided with Lucifer, and they fell from heaven. And their fallen status is fixed. And the two-thirds of the angels that stayed true, and their status is fixed. And so, Bert, I do not think angels have to wake up every morning and choose their test, and those that fell, those that stayed, that was in eternity past. Our opportunity to make the right decision and to be saved is in this life. And here's the thing, once you leave this world, there is no second chance, is there, Bert? There's no plan B.
There is no plan B. And Rebecca, keep on teaching those children. What an opportunity. I know you take it and you do it, and praise God for that. And all of those of you that are teachers in these schools, and those in Sunday school, small groups, the influence you're having is beyond measure. Keep it up. Where to next, Alex?
Alabama. James in Alabama. You're on Exploring the Word.
Hello, guys. Well, I was going to ask, do a follow-up question that I talked with Mr. McFarland about a couple of months ago about rabbis being married.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'd really like to do is just make a comment, with your permission.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Satan is not omnipresent, omniscient, or omnipotent. He cannot be in more than one place at a time. And I wonder why every time evil appears, we blame him when he's not even around. He's probably on the other side of the world.
Okay, yeah. James. He has his demons. Now, my fallen nature, you know, I say we have the three unholy trinity, and it is Satan. It is a fallen world, you know, this world system, all I'm starting with this, and then myself. Alex, the one I have the most trouble with is self. I think most people are in that category. But when you give over to self, one of Satan's demons, they're right there to take you further than you want to go, isn't he?
Yeah. You know, I'm glad the caller mentioned this, that the devil is not omnipresent or all-powerful. Satan is limited. Now, how many demons are there? I don't know, but it's a bunch. But, you know, it's interesting. I was in a church one time, and the sound system was messing up, and the guy, he laid hands on the soundboard, and he said, the devil, get out of the soundboard. And I didn't say too much about it, but I thought, you know, it might just be there's a short in the microphone cable, you know. But, yeah, sometimes we might give the devil too much credit. Hey, I want to try to get one more question in. Jeff in North Carolina. Jeff, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you, guys. My quick question. Well, first of all, I just wanted to say that when they do make Christianity illegal, I just hope that they have enough evidence to convict me.
I hear you, bro.
My question is, on Easter Sunday morning, when Mary Magdalene was going to the tomb, to prepare the body of Christ for burial with the herbs and whatever else, did she know about the stone? Was she going to move the stone? What was going to be done with the stone, since he'd been sealed in the tomb with a stone?
Well, yeah, and this is in John chapter 20. You know, it talks about when the women were going to the tomb, they wondered who would move that stone away. Now, of course, they would get there and they would discover that the stone had been rolled away because Christ was risen. And it's just one of the great proofs of Christ's resurrection, the empty tomb, isn't it, Bert?
It is. I don't know if they thought maybe the apostles, the men, would show up and help them. The soldiers might help them and then reseal it. But they came away. He is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. We'll be back Monday in the book of Romans.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.